Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman. The city of Boston really wants its Amazon. A new poll from WBUR finds an overwhelming 71% of voters in the area say that the second headquarters should be located here. The poll was conducted by the Mass Inc. Polling Group and has a margin of error of 4.9 percentage points. To talk about this and the math and your other opinions about an Amazon headquarter potential impact on housing and traffic, WBUR's Zeninger Enwemeka joins me now in the studio. Hi, welcome, and thank you for explaining the math here, because I need that.
Hi, Jill.
So there's strong support for Amazon, of course. Boston and Somerville are among the 20 cities. That's a joint finalist still being considered by Amazon for its second headquarters. So based on your experience in reporting on Amazon and doing these polls, did that surprise you that there's so much support?
Well, so this new poll actually mirrors a WBUR poll that was done back in October of Boston voters. So that poll found large support among Boston voters. And here in this new poll, we looked at primary voters in the state's 7th congressional district, which includes Boston and Somerville. So there was large support again, as you said, 71% approving of Amazon coming here, just 18% disapprove. Here's one poll respondent, Francis Miranda, a business owner in Charlestown.
I believe it'll bring jobs into the area. There'll be some lower skill jobs. There'll also be some middle management jobs and maybe even a few upper management jobs that'll be coming in. Most of the places where they probably can put in a facility, it'll enhance those neighborhoods.
Now, what's interesting is people like the idea of Amazon coming here, but they don't want the company to get tax incentives.
Oh, well, that's maybe one of the ways to bring them here, right? Because it's other cities are competing, and they're maybe offering them quite a bit of money. But some are worrying what those cities might do to lure Amazon to where they're going. So how do you compete?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, tax incentives are the big question right now. And, you know, to be honest, I think we must all anticipate that they will be part of any city's bid. Some cities and states are already offering Amazon up to billions of dollars in tax incentives. Boston area residents just really aren't feeling tax incentives. In our poll, 52% disapprove of tax incentives, 37% approve. Here's Caroline Toth, a documentary filmmaker in Roxbury.
They don't need tax incentives. They don't need to be taking money from our schools. They don't need to be taking money from our public housing. It's just not appropriate.
Yeah, that was a common feeling that people had. They don't need it.
But they want the place, they want the company to come, but they don't need that kind of incentive to get them here. It should be enough that it's Boston.
Yeah, I mean, many of the folks that I spoke with said Boston has a lot to offer and that they don't want to see the city and the state shelling out millions or even billions like some other places are to bring a company like that here.
Right. So another concern among those who were in the poll was housing. It's a top issue already, you know, affordable housing for people who live
yes,
here.
Yes, absolutely.
And if Amazon comes, what is the concern?
Yeah, so the poll looked at how people felt Amazon might impact various aspects of life. So there are two big concerns here, traffic and housing. 76% said Amazon would be bad for traffic. And we know that that's already a nightmare in the Boston area.
And wait, it's the site maybe in East Boston, so through the tunnel,
exactly,
that whole thing.
Okay, exactly. And on housing, 62% said housing said Amazon would be bad for housing affordability. And as you know, housing cost is already a concern. People are worried about displacement and gentrification, especially in the East Boston. Boston, as you mentioned. Here's how Cambridge resident and teacher Lizette Castillo put it.
The rent right now is completely unaffordable for working families. To bring a company like Amazon that is going to bring a high-tech industry, I'm assuming their salaries are going to be pretty high. I believe it's going to have a spike in everyday life for everyday people of the city of Boston.
And everyday concerns are housing and traffic and whether the T is running on time or hasn't yet had that expansion that's been long awaited. These are familiar.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are really interested in the idea of Amazon coming here for the jobs, but they're concerned that there may be some really negative impacts. And, you know, housing, transportation, all of those are familiar concerns that have come up. I should note that, the city of Boston says that it believes its housing plans are in pace with what Amazon's plans are for a second headquarters. They don't believe that it would be disruptive. But our poll clearly shows that people are very worried about this. They think that Amazon will exist exacerbate these issues. On the other hand, people feel that Amazon could be a good thing for the MBTA. 57% say the company would be good for the T. The feeling there that many people have is that if Amazon were to come to the Boston area, that that could spur some investments and improvements to the public transit system.
It's hard to imagine anything more that needs to be luring other people to invest in the city, which is pretty popular, you know, wonderful place to live and very expensive, of course. Did you find variations, though, in the different demographic groups? You talked about a particular area that was polled. Was there more interest or more support for Amazon from some groups than from others?
Well, there are some only really slight variations, but there really wasn't massive differences between the various demographic groups that we looked at in this poll on any of these issues. And, you know, folks can really dive into all the numbers on our website, WBUR.org.
So I read something today online about a bet, like these betting parlors that are national, that there's a pretty good chance that Amazon will land in Boston, Somerville. It was like a 3-to-1 odds. But what do we really know about this? Is it likely to come here?
Well, the Boston area is considered a favorite to land Amazon. The area has a lot of tech talent. There's a lot of colleges and universities here. The innovation economy is very strong. So the chances are good. But, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. Amazon is expected to make its pick later this year.
Okay. I'm not betting on this either way, by the way. I didn't mean to imply. I'm not a betting woman, even with all those casinos coming this way. Well, Zeninger and Wamika, thank you so much for coming in here and explaining the numbers.
You're welcome.
Zeninger is a reporter for WBUR's Bostonomics team, and that covers the innovation economy. And the WBUR poll, again, has a margin of error of 4.9 percentage points. Topsy-turvy staircase leading nowhere. Two hands drawing themselves into existence. Interlocking birds that morph into fish and back again. Dutch graphic artist M.C. Escher's iconic trippy images have mesmerized many a mathematician, a college student, psychologist, and potheads over the years. But the art world hasn't always taken his work seriously. Now, the Museum of Fine Arts is, with its first exploration of Escher's skill and enduring allure, WBUR's Andrea Shea has more.
Escher's illusions have been a staple of dorm room decor for decades. They've inspired posters, T-shirts, and films, like Jim Henson's 1986 fantasy tale Labyrinth. In this scene, David Bowie, playing an evil goblin king, navigates shifting stairways like the ones in Escher's famous print Relativity.
How you turn my world, you precious thing.
Another riff on Escher's Relativity shows up on the animated TV show Family Guy.
This is weirder than that rap video by M.C. Escher. Going up the stairs and going down the stairs and going up the stairs and going down the stairs and going up the sideways stairs.
Now, an original Relativity lithograph print from 1953 hangs in a gallery at the MFA. Curator Ronnie Baer walks over to another popular Escher image, two human-like heads made of a spiraling ribbon that float in space.
Bond of Union, this was ubiquitous in the 60s and early 70s as a psychedelic thing. And this Reptiles, I knew this from an album cover.
British band Mott the Hoople's 1969 album has Escher's parade of little reptiles crawling all over it. But even though works like Reptiles and Relativity have been embraced by pop culture, Baer says a lot of art critics, curators, and historians have long dismissed Escher for being too whimsical, too mainstream, too mathematical, including her.
I, too, disdained him. And now I find him really fascinating, both as a really good printmaker and as a thinker. He was a guy obsessed with certain motifs, and he worked them and worked them, and I think that's one of the signs of a real artist.
Baer has been examining the artist's painstaking processes and complex thinking in the new show M.C. Escher, Infinite Dimensions. For it, the European paintings expert tracked down 50 original prints and drawings owned by private collectors and institutions, including the Boston Public Library. The gallery brims with Escher's playful but technical greatest hits, including the popular 1935 image, Hand with Reflecting Sphere. It shows the bearded artist peering out from a mirrored orb poised in his hand.
This goes back to the 15th century idea of an artist representing himself on a curved surface. So Escher's fully aware of his art historical tradition, but he does it in such an interesting way.
Hand with Reflecting Sphere has been reproduced countless times, but in this original print, every detail pops.
There's a huge difference between seeing how he can manipulate his materials and how he inks the plates and how he achieves this depth of tone. And it's so different than looking at a flat reproduction that doesn't have any of those characteristics.
Whether Escher's work is seen as pop art, high art, or both, Bear wanted to show it connects with all kinds of people. So she reached out to more than a dozen creative types outside the museum world. Cellist Yo-Yo Ma meditated on how Escher relates to Bach. Retired astronaut-turned-artist Nicole Stott wrote an essay about Escher's three worlds, which shows a fish underwater, leaves on the water, and trees reflected in the water.
From orbit, I've seen the crystal clear and glowing colors of our Earth. I've experienced the dynamic nature of water, land, clouds, and lightning swirling and interconnected below me.
Stott's words are paired with Escher's print in the exhibition. She's the first person to paint a watercolor in outer space. She says at first, Earth from orbit and Escher's work could look pretty simple.
You know, you could just take a quick glance at it and walk by. But if you take the time, you discover new things every time you look at it. You're surprised that, you know, wow, how did he even do that? And the same thing happened when you look at Earth from space.
Another essay in the gallery is by American Repertory Theater director Diane Paulus. She chose Escher's 1948 piece, Drawing Hands.
Where one hand is drawing, which leads to another hand, which is drawing. It's a constant flow where you cannot put your finger on where it begins and where it ends.
Like all good artists, Paulus says Escher grabs us viscerally and challenges us to participate.
There's kind of a gauntlet set down to say, try to figure out where this begins and where it ends. I dare you, you know, and then you kind of look at it and you stare at it and you get lost in the maze.
Maurits Cornelis Escher created 448 lithographs, woodcuts, and wood engravings before he died in 1972. He also illustrated books and designed postage stamps, murals, and tapestries. While living, though, Escher didn't have his own museum retrospective until he was 70. MFA curator and new Escher convert Ronnie Baer hopes this show helps reveal there's much more to this artist than meets the eye.
I've changed my mind. We'll see what the public says.
That's WBUR's Andrea Shea. The new exhibition of M.C. Escher at the Museum of Fine Arts is ongoing. We have more information and a link to some of the images at radioboston.org. Stay with us. There is more ahead. I'm Jill Kaufman. This is Radio Boston.